Hey, hey, hey! What's up? Thanks for tuning in. This is your Jock and Nerd Weekly for Thursday, April 7th, 2016. Light it up!
It's the Jock and Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Hi, old listener. Thanks for joining us. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Why? Because my name is Imran.
And my name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And there you get the name. But also joining us, of course, as always, Mr. Ruggs. How's it going, Rug Boy?
What's up, dudes? How's it going?
Pretty good. Good earth to you and good earth to you out there in listener land. Thanks for tuning in. You guys, if you're a regular listener, we appreciate every second you spend with us. We appreciate you coming back, hanging out. If you're a new listener and you have stumbled onto this show somehow, thanks. You are in for a treat. Here's what's going to happen. We go over the week's geek news, lots of fun stuff to talk about. Then we're going to talk about this week's comic book TV shows, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow, The Walking Dead, and Legends of Tomorrow. But before all that, you guys, I want to mention we just put out in the feed our Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice review.
Geek Boner.
Probably our most controversial show we've put out. Not in terms of like actual controversy, but sparking a reaction.
Well,
it was an extravaganza.
It was an extravaganza. We got a little passionate on this because, you know, look, we're big nerds. We love this stuff. And when a certain movie comes out like this, it just makes you go nuts. Now, just like the movie, we've gotten crazy responses from our review show.
Oh, shit.
From praise to hate. It's lovely. It's wonderful.
It's only been out for like a day.
It's literally been out for 2 days. And this is great. This is what we asked for. This is what we wanted. We want different opinions. So I'm just going to share a couple of these on the show from Twitter. One John Snowden.
I want to read the negative one. So you go to the Twitter.
I'll do the Twitter. Facebook. You do the Facebook one. At John Snowden writes, at Jock and Nerdcast, been waiting for this. I thought, what the fuck when Batman was killing? Isn't he justice, not vengeance? Ace work, guys. Keck Magician from at Keck _ Magician tweets, Batman vs. Superman sounds like North Korea versus NATO, which is very confusing. And you know what? North Korea always wins in that one. I'll tell you what.
Oh, shit.
They're fucking crazy. You don't fuck around with North Korea. And finally, Brendan Lipani on Twitter says, great show. Huge geek myself. I do a podcast at thetechnologygeek.org. I didn't like BVS. Hope Justice League is better. Thanks for tweeting us, you guys. Now, they weren't all positive responses to the show.
Not all of them.
Of course not.
No, Anthony.
David Zika. David. Sure that's how he pronounces his first name.
He's got the virus, the Zika virus.
David? David? Whatever. David Zika.
Your review is automatically invalid if your guest stood online, he said online, for TMT. I think he's referring to you, Rugboy. Is there anyone whose judgment you should consider less for movie choices?
No, he's talking about Bilotti.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bilotti did that when he was like 10.
Okay.
The first Ninja Turtles came out when he was like 10. Dude.
That's what he was talking about.
He's not finished.
Yes.
One of the best superhero movies ever. The show would be more interesting if you had an intelligent, conflicting viewpoint, not just moronic bashing. Every complaint, I had a counterpoint. Then he followed up with another comment. 90% of your complaints boil down to, I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I have the attention span of a goldfish. Dumb it down for me.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
Wait a minute. But this is the thing about this guy.
Yes.
I'm down to hear whatever he has to say.
Oh, yeah.
All right? But he put nothing down. He didn't refute one point. He just says we were stupid, and he didn't explain why we were stupid.
There's multiple things. First of all, his comment of if your guest stood online for TMNT. Like we said, we had John Bilotti Jr., on the show with us, and Bilotti was standing in line with his mom when he was 10 years old when he saw the movie. That's what he was talking about. Now, you go to love this movie, one of the best superhero movies ever. That right there, who's the fanboy now? You can't say it's one of the best, and we didn't say it's the worst superhero movie ever. It's solidly somewhere in the middle, basically.
All I got two things.
Yeah.
First off, all I want to say to that guy is, are you mad, bro? Like, that guy was like super angry for no reason.
Bro, do you even podcast?
Like, he just went to straight insulting, which is pretty funny. I got nothing for that guy, because if you're going to just start insulting and provide no comment, then there's nothing that I really...
Well, I commented.
You.
I was like, look.
I feel about that guy like the same way when I hear somebody trying to argue that Drake is the best rapper ever. I'm like, are you serious? Like, how can you even make that comment?
Yeah, we shared this with Bilotti.
Yes.
Bilotti had this to say. Yeah. LOL. Send him a link for the book, quotation, Filmmaking for Dummies, quotation. This way he will know what going into making a coherent linear story for the big screen. So that's the response from
him. He's like, linear stories are for kids.
Nobody cares about
it. I'm an adult and I'm smart and I can just... for some reason, connect dots that aren't even there.
Exactly. And look, the spoon-feeding comment, of course we don't want to be spoon-fed. Nobody does. But this movie does a really strange thing. It does the two opposite extremes of spoon-feeding. While it's not shoving themes down your throat...
Yeah, it is. It's beating you over the head with, no! No!
What are you talking about?
No!
But it's not doing that. It's throwing things out way out of context where you can't even taste what the fuck the food is. It's in your mouth. I don't know what I'm eating.
Here's the thing about this. I don't want to spend any more time on this. We did a review show on this.
I'm exhausted.
If you want to counter us, either write us an email or do it like the 365 Flicks guys did. I listened to their show and they didn't really counter us because I don't think we released our show before theirs. But yeah. They explained why they like the movie, and if you can explain why you like the movie or if you can refute our points, then go ahead and do that. But if you're just going to come out and bash us, that's fine too. Just expect that I'm not going to have any real comment for you because I don't really care about your opinion.
Look, David Zika, I told him, send us your counterpoints. We'll read it on the show. I agree. I would have loved to have a conflicting viewpoint on that show. Problem is, we couldn't really find anybody who liked the fucking movie at the time. So there's that. So
we don't know any stupid people.
We don't know anybody else.
All the people that we know are like, no shit.
Oh, no shit.
Yep. Look. So there it is, David Zika. Thanks for writing in. I'm glad you listened.
Thanks for writing in. I can't believe he hate listened to our entire show.
I love that. I love it. This movie.
I'm glad when people do that.
I love when people do that. This is the best.
That guy that stood in line for TMT.
Listen, that's when you know you made it. I feel so proud of us, guys. We did it.
Actually, not in line. Stood online for TMNT. I'm sorry.
Yeah, not the network
said
TMT.
Online.
Yeah, for wrestling. Anyways, let's get to the news.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
And as much as we're tired about talking about Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, we have to start with a little bit of checking in with this movie. Despite all the craziness, despite what we thought, this movie has broke $700 million worldwide. Pretty impressive.
Yowza.
It's all, you know, it needs to make that $1 billion mark. However, in the second week, Anthony, what was the drop from weekend to weekend?
I believe the number was 68%.
Oh, shit.
Okay, now, you can't blame the critics on that anymore. That's not the critics. That's clearly people going to see the movie, telling other people, you know what, don't bother going to see this movie. That's a huge drop, and now I really don't know if they're going to make this $1 billion. I thought they would. I thought it was easy peasy, despite whatever you put on the screen.
It made quite a ton of money despite the critics, because people were like, fuck the critics. I'm still going to see this and judge it for myself. And now you're seeing what people think after they've judged it for themselves.
Yeah. So that's telling. I mean, it's at $720 million worldwide.
It needs to hit that. It doesn't need to, but I believe a billion is what they were aiming for.
And well,
it's going to hit a billion.
And I believe Warner Brothers is a little bit shocked, quote unquote. They said they're shocked at this. There's been a bit of a ripple effect that this movie is causing. This is like unbelievable. Like this movie, the conversations around it, what it's doing. Warner Brothers has come out to say that now they're going to focus on more tentpole films and release fewer homegrown, smaller films. So
what does that mean? How does that have anything to do with BVS?
It means they're gonna focus on DC movies, Lego movies, Harry Potter spinoff movies, and they're gonna not make as many filmmaker like that they grow their own, that they develop, basically not giving anyone a chance, a smaller filmmaker a chance to make movies. Like this is, and they've always been very pro, you know, filmmaker people, these studios, and now. They're like, fuck all the small movies. We're going for the cash grab all the time. That's what I think.
So basically what they're doing is they're putting all their eggs, all the money that they have, and instead of financing these little guy movies, they're just going to go and double down on this genre shit.
Yeah.
Which
yep.
is fine with me.
Well,
if they do it right.
I don't have a problem with that, man. Well,
and so I think also
it's
what
– show business, as John Belotti
That's true.
Said.
And I think what hurt them last year, 2015, they had big movies like Jupiter Ascending and Pan and In the Heart of the Sea, but they were kind of busts. And
yeah,
so,
none of them are interesting to
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
They're looking for something to replace the Harry Potter cash cow they had.
Right, and so they have the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them spinoff, and they're relying on that. And these Lego movies, there's a Batman Lego movie, they're going to blow those out of the water. But what also has happened is that the Wonder Woman movie has been moved up a month, which is pretty good because I'm dying to see this movie. This movie is now opening June 23rd, weeks earlier from June 2nd. It was June 23rd. It's going to open June 2nd.
So it's almost a month.
And it's almost a month, and they have two untitled films dropping in on the dates, on some dates. Where do those go? Two untitled DC films for October 5th, 2018, November 1st, 2019. You guys,
You gotta believe that that's the – one of them's the solo Batman Ben Affleck project.
If Warner Brothers was smart – look, we've heard that Ben Affleck, Jeff Johns has a script. We've heard that they got a script done. If Warner Brothers were smart, I would fast-track this fucking Batman movie as fast as possible because we know everyone loved Wonder Woman. This Wonder Woman movie finished filming. It's ready to or they're still working on it. It's going to be good to go. Let's get a Batman movie in there because otherwise you're relying on Cyborg and Aquaman and Flash.
Now you got to explain all the shit that you kind of led to in the Superman, Batman versus Superman movie.
Well, that begs the question. Do you do a movie before the Superman or do you do it present time?
Well, you could at least have flashbacks that explain where the fuck he is and who he is and why everything is the way it is.
Why he's so unhinged and crazy and psychotic and just fucking killing people.
Yeah, you could do something. I mean, you could do like a Death of Robin storyline or something like that.
It could be the Red Hood.
It could be the Red Hood, too. I mean, there's a lot of rumors, actually, that the Joker in this universe is Jason Todd.
That would suck.
I've heard about that. And then I've also seen rumors that Zack Snyder has been talking to Henry Cavill for a standalone Superman movie. Could that be one of those slots?
I don't see that. Just my prediction. No inside news, but I don't see them pushing Superman. They don't like Superman.
No, and
it's obvious they don't like Superman.
What's surprising to me is the fact that they're even having these conversations like, should we do a Batman movie? Should we do a Superman movie? It just smells of, you guys really didn't have a plan, did you? Like, you planned this shit out, but you didn't plan your tentpole, your major stars being Batman and Superman in this slate of superhero movies that's coming out. It's very disconcerting a little bit. What do you guys think?
I don't know if I would go Superman if I was WB, because that costs a lot of money to do Superman. Batman is relatively just kung fu and shit.
You could do it.
It's cost effective to do Batman.
And think about how cool you could do like a low budget, gritty, street level Batman movie with Ben Affleck. Kind of like, you know, like he did The Town, like do a gritty crime version of Batman. It would be awesome.
That'd be awesome. You know, like Rugboy said, I just wanted to add on that they don't really know how to do Superman.
No, they
still
don't
know how to do Superman. So if I'm them, if Superman's not really my bread and butter, Batman is. I'm doing other stuff. I'm not doing Superman. And plus, we just killed the guy in our last film. Spoiler alert for anyone that's not seen it.
But they don't.
They fucking killed the
they
guy.
Don't know. They don't know what
they
to
killed
do
him, and they're going to make him a tyrant ruler.
They're. You know what they're
I
building
hope they
to?
Don't. What?
It's so fucking obvious, and it's Rugboy alluded to it
injustice.
In the show. Injustice.
Ew.
It's totally injustice.
I don't want them to do that though.
It's totally look, even the flashback scene where Flash is like, the key is Lois.
Yeah.
That's all because Lois gets killed and Superman becomes a huge tyrant.
I thought that was also alluding to Crisis on Infinite Earths a little bit, or
no,
even Flashpoint.
I think they're doing Injustice.
Ugh, he's mushing too many
they've already
together.
Look, think about it. They've already killed Clark Kent's the human side of Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
They, like killed, they did a funeral for Clark Kent.
Yeah, they killed both sides. Yeah.
How do you explain that, Batman? Yeah.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to figure that out.
So Superman can come back and just be the fucking tyrant and they don't have to explain his human alter ego doing anything.
Well, they don't have to do that future. It just could be a possibility. And then Batman stops Superman from being a killer, you know, or something.
Well,
and then
Flash time travels.
Yeah. So there's ways to get around him actually being that. The threat of that could be like the looming big bad But I don't know. I just think that taking your major fucking property and using a video, a fighting video game where the superheroes have to fight each other in the game.
Yeah.
Using that stupid device in your – it just doesn't make any sense.
No, it's smushing too many things. Just give us a solo Batfleck movie. I'm down with that.
Well, it's just total superhero deconstruction. It's like
– yeah.
It's like Zack Snyder tried to – like he's like read Watchmen 80 million times and is like, this is what I want to do for everybody.
Or Dark Knight Returns. That's all he's ever read.
Dark Knight Returns too.
All right.
Yeah, but in Dark Knight Returns, they said that they killed people, but he doesn't kill that many people in Dark Knight Returns. I don't think he kills anybody.
Does he kill anybody in Dark Knight Returns? Except for the Joker. He kills the Joker.
No, he doesn't kill the Joker. Joker kills himself.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the Joker snaps his own neck.
That's right.
Because there's a couple of lines in there where he says, I haven't crossed that line yet. I could kill you, but I haven't crossed that line yet.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. So this is a very brutal, brutal Batman. I want to know why. Just tell me why.
I guess since we're talking about, I'll bring up one more thing that I didn't think of. If Batman in this universe kills people, it totally renders him moot. Like, why is Joker alive?
I had the same question. Why are all those fuckers still alive then? And we'll see it's Suicide Squad, a little bit of him dealing with the Batman probably. But yeah, why are those dudes alive? They should all be dead. He should be done. Look, let's move on to some fucking Marvel shit now. Done talking about this. Okay. I'm exhausted. So Sony might have accidentally leaked the title of the Spider-Man reboot movie coming out. Possibly, maybe, I don't know. We have one of four possibilities, everybody.
Oh, shit.
Okay, let me hear it.
Here are the URLs that they have registered for this movie. Spider-Man Homecoming the Movie.com.
No.
Spider-Man Coming of Age Movie.com.
No.
Spider-Man Greatness Awaits Movie.com.
Maybe. I don't want Spider-Man coming. I don't want him coming home. I don't want him coming of age.
There's one more with that makes I kind of work. Spider-Man. No, it's not coming. Spider-Man Suspended Movie.com.
Okay.
So I just wish they would just do the Spectacular Spider-Man or something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't mind. You don't like Homecoming? What do you think of Homecoming? That was the front runner.
Like, I don't know. It's like he's coming home to Marvel.
Well, yeah, he's.
It's like that. Not innuendo. It's just overt, kind of.
He's coming. It's going to be a homecoming dance / him coming home.
He becomes homecoming king. He's coming home to Marvel. He's also homecoming in the terms of high school. He's a younger Spider-Man. He's still in high school.
I dislike all those titles.
Yeah,
they're all terrible.
This might be just them buying a bunch of stuff and not knowing.
They're worse than BVS Dawn of Justice.
They are a little bit. Spider-Man coming all over my age movie.
Spider-Man coming of age. What was the second one?
Coming of age.
Spider-Man coming of age. If that's a title, I'm like, oh my God.
Greatness Awaits or Suspended. Coming all over. So what's a better title, guys? Give me one. I said
this. No, I like the Spectacular.
Right? Spectacular Spider-Man. Ruggs, what do you think?
What do you mean for the new Spider-Man?
New Spider-Man movie. Because look, Spider-Man's been taken. Amazing Spider-Man's been taken. It's going to get confusing. You got to set it, make it different. What do you call it?
I don't know.
Spider-Man, I don't know.
I don't know. Spider-Man, I don't know.
I have to think about it for like a minute.
All right, well, we'll check back in later if you remember.
If you look at like when they redid Hulk, right?
Yeah.
They call it just The Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
So it would only make sense. I know Amazing is taken, but Spectacular was a big title.
The Incredible Hulking Spider-Man. That's a good
one. Or you could take a little shot at Sony. I don't know if Sony will allow this, but you could go Superior.
Ooh, but then Then the Spider-Man Home. So in the comics in the 80s, there's a Spider-Man Homecoming storyline, but it's not going to have anything to do with this. Sensational, yeah. Sensational is a great title. Sensational Spider-Man.
Or the other 80s comic. There's like a million.
There was Web of Spider-Man.
There was Web of Spider-Man. That was the one, right?
Yeah.
Web of Spider-Man. And then they would be like Marvel Team-Up featuring Spider-Man. But that was really it. Amazing, Spectacular, and Web of Spider-Man. Then there was Sensational Spider-Man. And any one of those would be fine.
I think they're just registering a bunch of domains.
Yeah, I don't know about – is it going to be a colon? I hate colons in these titles. Why do we have to have a colon?
How about Spider-Man Red and Blue? That's it.
Whoa. Oh, well, you could do like Spider-Man Blue.
Spider-Man blows.
Spider-Man blows. All right, that's that. Well, hopefully they'll come up with something that's gonna make this nerd proud. Look at me, I'm wearing a Spider-Man hoodie. God damn it, give me something good. Moving on, Doctor Strange, starring
awesome.
Benedict Cumberbatch, has wrapped filming. That picture, Jordan Radford, our blab assistant, thank you so much, working the fourth box. She's thrown up this official photo from Marvel. It's awesome. He's doing the hand gestures, very Steve Ditko. The costume looks great. And we had a bunch of set photos from New York City with Cumberpatch and Chiwetel and Mads Mikkelsen with crazy cracked eye makeup. And there's some videos of them doing a weird, like, dance jump thing. Here's my problem with the set picks always. They just, out of contest, they look a little funny and silly. You know, you can't help. They look, you don't know what it's going to look like. But the costume, I think the costume looks really tight, man. Their costumes
look fine.
Great, right?
I think it looks great. Really like that. It's that, like, kind of Eastern look with
Eastern,
the robe.
Yeah, Eastern
Minnesota. But then the strong collar. And I like the muted colors because, as we've seen in Avengers, when the colors on Cap's costume are a little too bright.
Yeah.
I like the muted colors on Strange. He's not Spider-Man. He's a little bit more. He's not as fun.
Yeah. No, he looks great. Jordan says, "I'm a Cumberbitch." Hey, I think we're all Cumberbitches. I got to tell you what. Love the Cumberpatch. Because why? Because he does things like after shooting, he walked into the comic book store on the street and hung out and took photos. This place is called, what is it? JHU Comic Books. And it was like this story was all over. It went to like Sky News. There's security camera footage of him hanging out with the owners and holding up a Doctor Strange book. He just seems like a really cool guy. And I was like, this guy's awesome. What a great way to like go and embrace being Doctor Strange.
I think that guy was like completely flabbergasted when he walked in.
He just walks in. I think Bellotti's been to this comic book store. This movie looks awesome. I can't wait. It's coming out in November. Moving on to The Civil War, which is the next MCU movie we're going to get in just about a month.
Geek Boner.
By the way, that's very exciting. Yes. We got some new casting news. Jim Rash is in the movie. Jim Rash from Community, the principal, is hilarious. That'll be fun.
But okay.
More interesting is the casting reveal of Alfre Woodard. Alfre Woodard is cast in Captain. Now, Alfre Woodard is also in the Luke Cage show.
Who is that?
She's playing Mariah Dillard on Luke Cage.
She's like an old lady.
But so all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, is this a crossover? Is she playing the same character in Civil War?
No, she's not.
She's in Civil War. She's playing the mother of an American citizen who perished during Ultron's attempted destruction of Sokovia. In Avengers Age of Ultron, she blames Tony for that, leading him to choose the side of pro-registration.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Maybe. I feel like Marvel's got their I's dotted and their T's crossed. I don't think they would cast the same actor.
It's very interesting, though, but this is the first time that someone has crossed over from the Netflix into the main MCU.
You can't call it a crossover, though, if she's playing a different character.
And it's a name that we know, too. It's not like you're going to be unnoticed.
Right. That's very weird. Would they cast Alfre Woodard's two completely different things in the same universe on two different platforms? Very interesting.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah, we'll have to see how the movie comes out. But next week, you guys, check out the Jimmy Kimmel Show all week because he's doing Marvel Week on every show all next week. And there's a couple exciting things going to happen. So on Monday, he's going to have Chris Evans, Sebastian Stan, Anthony Mackie, Paul Rudd for a Civil War appearance. On Tuesday, Benedict Cumberbatch will be there with the trailer for Doctor Strange.
Geek Boner.
Trailer's debuting on Tuesday.
Sweet.
Then Clark Gregg's going to be on, Don Cheadle, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, all week long. It's Marvel Week on Jimmy Kimmel. Dude, I love what he's doing. This is the place to come drop your geek trailers and embrace these geek movies. It's become like the one place everybody's got to go to get their shit out, and it's lots of fun.
Well, he's good. He's a fan, Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, and he does both sides because, like, he has
he was the guy that did the BVS Superman or Batman v Superman third or fourth trailer.
Yeah, he broke one of those trailers, and like then he breaks Captain America trailer. So I love it. We've got also another new TV show greenlit.
Uh-oh.
Marvel has greenlit a Cloak & Dagger TV show.
Whoa!
Geek Boner!
On a network called Freeform. What is Freeform?
It used to be ABC Family.
Used to be ABC Family.
Why wouldn't it not be on the network?
Because they are targeting this show to be go towards kids. It's going to be more of a teen drama sort of
thing.
It's
going to be like a young adult thing. Okay. Like maybe their version of a CW show, possibly.
So they're not going to have the costume with the plunging neckline that you could almost see everything?
I don't know.
Get to that eventually. I think this show is very much marketed towards family kids audience.
Young adult can be sexy. So this is their official, this is what they said. These beloved Marvel characters aim squarely at young adults. Live-action interracial romance follows Tandy Bowen and Tyrone Johnson, two teenagers from very different backgrounds who find themselves burdened and awakened to newly acquired superpowers. So, of course, we know Tandy, whose dagger can emit light daggers, and Tyrone, whose cloak has the ability to engulf others in darkness, and they kind of like, he can transport them and stuff. Very cool. They quickly learn they are better together than apart, but their feelings for each other make their already complicated world even more challenging. This is going to expand Marvel TV shows to only a third network, where DC's Warner Brothers got like five. But it's good. They're taking the time to doing this. I don't know. I'm going to, of course, I will check it. It being on the former ABC Family, yeah, that's a little.
Did you read Cloak and Dagger?
I would read it when they visited Spider-Man. Again, they were friends with Peter Parker, and I would read the Spider-Man crossovers.
Okay.
Did you read Cloak and Dagger? Do you like the characters?
A little bit. I don't remember it that much, but I don't remember them being a couple. Were they a couple?
I don't remember them being a couple. They were just kind of.
I think they were. In the Ultimate Universe, I believe they were.
In the Ultimate, they were.
Oh, so. Ultimate. Oh, that's different.
Look, we're getting another Marvel superhero show. I'm just
saying. Yeah, I don't, whatever. Nobody cares about that.
it doesn't appeal to me, but.
Like, it's not good. If it sucks, I don't care. It's like, it's pretty much Cloak and Dagger in name only.
It's also very low. I would say it's very low risk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on the Freeform network. It's Cloak and Dagger. Yeah. It's two names that a lot of people don't know. They really can do whatever the hell they want. They could make it just Cloak and Dagger in name only, and no one really care, to be honest with you.
I'm saying this right now. I'm not reviewing this for the show.
Well, we don't know when it's coming out.
I don't want to watch.
There's no release date, no cast, no showrunners, no writers.
If it even gets made.
I didn't want to read it when it was a comic. All right, so.
I do want to watch it. I do want to read it. Finally, gang, another, not a Marvel property, but a Disney property. We had a new Star Wars trailer. New trailer for Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Ruggs, do you guys see this?
Yeah, another chick in the future.
Another badass female, Felicity Jones, playing the lead. I kind of liked it. It looks like a cool war movie. It's set before A New Hope. It has that kind of 1977 feel in terms of the sets. You see AT-ATs. Anthony, you're not a big Star Wars fan. What did you just get watching this? Anything?
I got two things.
Okay.
One, if you don't read the internet, you would think that this is the next Star Wars film.
I think it was a lot of people were like,
There's nothing that hints at this being a prequel.
That's very interesting because this is a prequel, people.
Oh, shit.
This is not between episode 4 and 3.
And yes, and anytime you say Star Wars prequel, you just get a dirty taste in your mouth all just automatically. But
I got one more thing before you go off about it being a prequel. The only other comment I had are they called ATEX?
AT-AT. They're called AT-ATs.
AT-ATs, those huge things, right?
Yeah, the big camel-looking things.
You could tell Gareth Edwards directed this, and you could tell he got a lot of experience with Godzilla in making scale and making things look awesome on screen. And that shot with the AT-ATs or whatever the hell they're called, the scale of them with the humans running on a beach, that was awesome.
I love that.
I think he's a really good visual stylist, on par with Snyder in terms of making things look awesome.
Absolutely.
Probably better because he doesn't rely on hyper realism.
Edwards directed, of course, Godzilla 20. When did that come out? The last Godzilla.
Which was boring in its own ways, whatever. But
it was boring, but it was beautifully shot.
Yeah, but it was greatly directed in a lot. His cinematography is awesome.
Marcus, what do you, any observations from this trailer? We got no Jedis. You know, you could have Darth Vader in this. You could have Boba Fett in this.
There's going to be a Jedi. There's going to be Darth Vader. There's going to be everything. They're not going to show you that now. It's the teaser.
They want you to get
acclimated to the idea.
This movie doesn't come out till December. So,
did you read Farachi's article? Any of you guys?
No. What did he say?
he basically said, first off, like what I said, a lot of people are going to think that Felicity Jones is Kylo Ren's mom.
She look, they look a lot alike.
Because they got the British thing going on, yeah. And they're both kind of look alike. But he also said that although the Star Wars universe is huge, like it's actually very small in the fact that like every character seems to know each other. And this is their chance to kind of actually expand the universe into something bigger than just a little family knowing each other.
It'll be.
I think you meant Rey's mom.
Rey's
not
mom, not Kylo.
Mom.
Rey, yeah, the girl. Well, see, that's how much I know about Star Wars.
Well, this is the first movie that won't have anything to do with the Skywalker family. You know, we can finally step outside of the Skywalker stories and tell.
Are you guys excited? You guys are the Star Wars fans.
I think it looks cool. I'm ready for like a war battle. Battlefront kind of movie. I love the
who's the dude with the cape? You know that guy? The white cape.
That is that's one of the admirals. He's like an admiral of the Imperial admiral, and it looks like she's also like undercover Imperial. She's wearing Imperial and Rebel shit in certain shots. And and Donnie Yen looks cool, like fighting stormtroopers with a baton with some fucking samurai moves.
Dude, there's. Two fucking Asians in this movie. That's unbelievable.
Actually,
this cast is very interesting. International. Yeah. International. Sorry.
Absolutely.
What do you think of it, Rugboy?
Well, this is what I think. I think that it's going to be great to get a break from the dynasty of Star Wars with the Skywalker family. It's going to be a different view of the battle. And maybe it'll give another dimension to Star Wars, make you understand better, especially from the Rebel side. Because you get that when you watch Rebels on TV.
Yeah, how was I heard the season finale of the second season of Star Wars
Holy
Rebels.
Holy fuckball.
Was really good.
Watch anything, watch that episode. It's an hour long.
Wow.
And there is like half hour of it is lightsaber battles.
Ooh.
And they're fucking sick. Dude, there's these guys called the Inquisitors, and they have a special lightsaber that it's like a helicopter, and they can helicopter around with their lightsabers.
Whoa.
And then Darth Vader comes, and there's a fucking epic Darth Vader shit going on. It's great, dude. So crazy.
I got to catch up on the second season. That's a great show. That show just feels like Star Wars. And maybe one of those characters comes over into Rogue One because it's the same time period.
Is that stuff canon?
Yeah. It's that series takes place the same time Rogue One is taking place.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's the timeline. So,
which is great.
Yeah. Well, we got a question. Any of you watch Super Jail? I've not seen Super Jail.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know Supergirl? What that is. Oh, maybe
it's gotta
he meant
be anime because
unless he meant Supergirl, I don't know. I'll tell you what we did watch all of this week's TV shows. You guys, let's get to the first show.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
Spoiler alert.
First spoiler alert of the show. We are now talking about this week's new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. Season 3, episode 15, titled Space Time. So it's Super Jail. I've never heard of it. It's not anime. I don't know what that is.
I've never heard of it.
Space Time. This was kind of a fun episode. Some twists, some things finally coming together. We meet an inhuman with a really cool power. He's a homeless dude.
Oh, yeah.
But he has the power that if you touch him, he will show you the future, but not just the future, people. He will show you a death. He will show you somebody dying.
He's a death caster.
He's a death caster. Very specific, but as they mentioned in the episode, these inhuman powers are here for a reason. These are all designed. I kind of love this idea that these inhuman powers are designed in evolution, and they're there for a reason.
I don't understand how that everybody's got a power for a reason. I don't understand that.
It's inhuman.
It's got to be like divine, like almost like a god is picking out what your purpose is, sort of thing. That's the view.
Yeah, but when you have the powers, how are you supposed to know what you're supposed to do?
You don't.
It's not like everybody's got directions.
You
got
to figure it out. It's there for a reason, and we get a little bit more of this when. Where do we go? Garner returns. Lash returns. I don't know where. In the middle of the episode. That was a great surprise. I wasn't expecting that because we were like, where the fuck is Lash? Where's Dr. Andrew Garner? And he just pops up. But he pops up in a time when now is this, do you consider this time travel? This wasn't really time travel-y episode.
It wasn't really time travel. It was, I mean, sort of, but it was more like a, like almost like it's fate. Like this is all going to happen for a reason. Yeah. Sort of like a Terminator 2.
yeah,
no fate but what we make sort of feel.
That was a great live, by the way, where Coulson references Terminator and Lincoln is like, I never saw the original Terminator.
That's funny.
And he just goes, you're off the team.
Straight millennial answer. Well,
fucking millennials. Every time I see Lincoln, I want to punch him. And that was a punch Lincoln moment. Absolutely. How about Ward looking all badass like fucking Neo walking down the hallway in his black
like his jacket?
Holy shit, that jacket is awesome. Where can I get one of those?
Just went to Keanu Reeves' closet and took it.
He did. Keanu's got like 100 of those. And Ward's like,
did you guys like this episode?
Yeah, it was all right.
I thought it was pretty good.
I love the I thought Chloe Bennett had a great single camera shot action scene where it was her doing all those
moves. Yeah, you
can
see her doing a lot of the shit.
That was one shot, and that was actually her doing it. So that was pretty cool. I was upset.
I thought the intrigue of figuring out if this future was actually real or not, or if they could actually change it, I thought that was entertaining enough of a hook for an episode.
Yeah, you know, Fitz mentions the fourth dimension, and he's trying
to explain. Dude, that was a really cool way to explain, because the fourth dimension is kind of incomprehensible to anybody, even including me. But the way he explained it with, like, imagine being two-dimensional, you would think time travel exists, but really it's just a given if you were living in three dimensions.
Well, the fourth dimension I consider it time, right? The fourth dimension is time. Right. Now, it reminds me of this book that I read in geometry class in high school. I might have mentioned it before. It's called Flatland. And it breaks down that, like, if you're in one dimension, all you see is one dimension. And then it talks about a whole land that's in two dimension. They could see the one-dimensional people, and the one-dimensional people can't see the two-dimensional people.
Right.
Then it talks about a whole world in three dimensions that can see all previous dimensions. So if you consider that, there's maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 multiple dimensions, but we can only comprehend up to the third or fourth being time. But they can see us. But we can't see them. It makes your head hurt.
We think it would be. It makes your fucking head.
It's awesome.
Time wouldn't exist in a fourth dimension.
I think my stuffing is melting.
I don't know.
It reminds me of like when people talk about how big space is, and it's like incomprehensible how big space is. If a fourth dimension were to exist, it's similar in that it's incomprehensible for us three dimensional, simple folk.
We cannot. We will never figure it out. But, no, I liked a lot of things in this episode. I like Malik's little upgrade that they had.
Crushing faces.
He crushed a dude's head with his exoskeleton arms.
Oh,
holy crap. That was intense.
I thought that was kind of weird.
I know. That was intense.
Like, Ward's just like, hey, put this on. He's like, okay, don't kill someone. Okay. Wow, this is awesome.
So let's talk about Andrew Gardner and when he comes back and what he says. He says, you know, that Lash, a little bit of me is in him, and a little bit of him is in me. And he's like, I can't help but think I'm supposed to serve a greater purpose. And he says, he has great lines like, look, I'm going to turn Lash for the last time, but maybe you need him. Maybe I'm here for a reason. And I kind of feel like this is the build, like it's going to be Lash versus Beast Ward. Like Lash, the balance is Lash is there to take out Hive.
Maybe.
I think so. I think he's there because Hive is not supposed to be there, and he is the inhuman sort of cleanup crew.
Yep,
that is supposed to take out people like Hive.
The balance, although
right, the balance.
Yeah, although they gave him the vaccine, it didn't really help. I guess they didn't think it would help.
It didn't work.
Yeah,
I like the part where Fitz and Simmons realize it's not snow falling down, and then they start holding hands.
They're like, I guess we're supposed to hold hands. But yeah, the whole episode was like, fate is what you make it. Like, we're going to do this because we know it's going to happen. So then we do it. But was it going to happen if you didn't know? Ugh, it makes my head hurt. Look, at the end, Malik beats the shit out of Daisy. That was kind of brutal. I felt really bad for fucking Daisy. But then the homeless dude, Charles, touches Malik. Malik has a vision, but we don't see the vision. What do you guys think he saw?
Wasn't it the spaceship?
No, that's later. So that's later. But first, we don't see Malik's vision. Then, as he's dying, she touches him one last time, and Daisy sees what we saw in the beginning of this season: the shot from inside the spaceship with the blood dripping and the cross floating, and the explosion. Now, all these visions—they're first person of the person who touches the person. At least in Daisy's case. So does that mean she's on that spaceship when it explodes? Is she going to die in that spaceship? That was
Maybe
through her
she's
eyes.
She's going to live. She's obviously not dead yet.
No, that's that's the future. But she sees in the final moments it explodes in that spaceship. It's very I don't want her to die. Plus, or could
they're
it
not
be
kill her off?
I feel like the Hive and Lash will end up on that spaceship also, and they may battle out there or something.
I don't know.
I really have no prediction. I don't know where it's going.
I mean,
it's hard to peg.
It was good though. It's good. Good twist. I'm glad we got to see Lash again. I really wanted to.
I'm not like interested enough to even think about where the show is going. I just watch it and kind of let it wash over me, and then I forget about it like 2 seconds later.
I've had that problem with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
More Hive Ward. I like him. And then at the end, the guys like Malik sounded afraid. So, yeah, it's confusing where they are. Malik's separated and the two humans are
like,
together.
Powers Booth Malik is not running anything anymore. And you can tell.
No.
Now, do you feel the loss, though? Like, of Bobby and Hunter and Mac, they're not there. Don't you feel like they're missing?
I do. I feel it a little bit. Although I think this was a good gimmick to get you kind of distracted for this episode, but I do think it's going to hurt the show not having those people.
Maybe get some new people. Introduce some new people. Well, we're going to have a 2-hour season finale May 17th. So that means it's after Civil War comes out, so there's going to be some tying in and out and some alluding to that. One way, of course. God forbid the fucking movie even says hi to these people. Hello. No. So...
there was so much more that happened in the next two episodes that we're going to talk about that I'm kind of done with this one.
All right, carrying on then.
Doc and Nerd.
Prepare to be spoiled.
Hey, everybody, this is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Thanks for hanging out. If you guys hang out in the lab till the end of the show, we're going to open up the fourth box. You could jump in, geek out, give us your thoughts on Batman versus Superman, whatever you want. We are now taught. There was no Flash this week. So we get to talk about this week's Arrow, Season 4, Episode 18, 11:59. I'm just going to...
Oh, shit.
Wow, Arrow. Wow, you made up for the last two episodes. What do you guys think? Do you agree? I feel like this episode made up for the weird, shitty writing in the last two episodes.
No.
No?
But I'm glad that they made the decision to kill off Laura Lance.
Yes.
I really thought that I really think that she was dragging the show down, and no one gave a crap about her, and I'm glad that she's gone.
Look.
I got a theory about that.
Yeah. All right. Look,
I don't know if she's actually dead.
No. Look, this is Arrow. The only person who's remained dead, really, think about it, is fucking Tommy Merlin. Everyone else who dies on the show has come back to life. And Ollie's parents. But
here's why. I mean, we're getting right into it. Let's not. You know, jump around something else while we're in this.
Okay.
The reason why I don't think she's dead is the way it was cut was weird. She like leans in to tell Ollie a secret.
Yeah. We don't hear that.
Go to this like quiet moment where we don't hear it.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to like all of a sudden she's in cardiac arrest or whatever.
Something weird happened there.
Something weird happened. I feel like Ollie and Laura are like faking her death to throw a curveball in the dark.
Maybe.
I mean, they have said that they're not gonna Arrow's dying. There's an article. Arrow's dying declaration won't be revealed until season 5. So they're gonna wait until season 5 to let us know what that is. Now, this mystery of who put who in the grave is sort of solved. Sort of. I liked it because I always felt it was a Lance, and that way they had been setting up Laurel in the last couple of episodes was very interesting to me because they started, you know, they pushed Felicity out of the way and they started to get Oliver and Laurel started getting close again and trusting each other as really close friends. But man, I was, that one was like, it was shocking. It was a little,
they built it up well because they had her kind of like, I'm going to be the DA and this is my last time. So, like, that was – maybe she can go. Then Diggle and his brother, like, the betrayal. Okay, maybe Diggle can go.
Yeah.
But then you also had Thea and, like, her feud with her dad, and it was like, okay, maybe she can go. So they did do a good job of, like, keeping it open to, like, a number of characters that could die.
Even Annie, the pet psychic, sent us a tweet saying, do you know who died on Arrow? Well, Annie, you got your answer. What'd you guys think about Diggle? I was kind of on Ollie's side the whole time. I was like – But they did it. I was like, don't trust him. But they did a good job because he's there with them shooting people, kicking people down. But then there's just weird. They linger on him for just a second, a beat too long. And you're like, I don't know if I trust him. But he had me. He had me. Although the minute the guy had captured him and Dark pulled the gun, I was like, oh, fuck, he is. He's playing him. He's playing
him. It would have been a bigger mystery if they didn't do that button scene at the end of the last episode.
Yeah, that's but where even then,
like Diggle is the secret weapon.
Yeah, Andy Diggle.
Even well, he tried to fake you out.
Right,
they
even then.
Like, oh, no, I'm not doing it. I know. Right. I'm looking at you.
Wasn't really completely sure who was playing who. And so they did that well. And even the little misdirect with Laurel being okay for a second, you're like, oh, maybe it is Detective Quentin Lance going after. And nope. But yeah, that was weird. They cut to the secret. And she's seizing. What the fuck happened there? We're gonna.
But
have
doesn't
to
everybody wait. in the medical labs know that she's the canary now?
They have to know. Yeah, that's why.
Oh yeah, because he brought her in costume, and then they should figure out that the rest of them are the rest of them. I mean,
I don't know. I read an article saying that she's definitely dead, but my first instinct was to say that she's not dead. But
yeah, that's my instinct too.
Look, this episode also tied the flashback together to the main storyline a little bit, which is kind of a first for the season. We saw, you know, he had the photo of Laurel and the idol. But here's what I didn't understand. Merlin brings Dark the idol, right? And then Dark's like, it's the stone's missing. Where's the fucking stone? Doesn't Merlin leave with the idol? He didn't give it to him. But then the idol shows up on the guy's fucking on Murmur's bookshelf. And I was like,
I didn't think about that.
I was like, how the fuck did he get the idol? I did enjoy.
It didn't cross my mind at all.
I did enjoy Dark's little coup where they're fucking stabbing the shit out of all the guards. A lot of people died in this episode, dude. It's a lot of killing in the flashbacks.
The people die.
Yeah, people die and come back.
But
I feel like I know why this, at least for me, this episode was a lot better than previous ones. It's because they finally just didn't have an episode where they were dealing with stupid Ollie Felicity bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like just got rid of her and got rid of all that stupid ass drama and let Ollie actually interact with the rest of his cast. And I think that's what got me into the show, besides it being well written once it got to season two, was his interactions with Diggle and Laurel and Thea. And you got to see that shit in this episode.
Yeah,
before it was all about Ollie and fucking Felicity and their stupid ass drama.
Yeah, I'll agree. We missed the little interactions with everyone else. And man, it was heartbreaking that Detective Lance shows up too late.
Very well acted.
Down.
Fuck, and he collapses. I was like, oh no, the minute she like died, I was like, oh shit, Quentin didn't even get there. And I mean, she tells him, you'll always be the love of my life, to Oliver. Wow, it was heartbreaking. It was very well done. Great on-screen death, unlike a certain other show that we will get to. Thank you, Arrow, for having the decency to kill a main character on screen. But
I don't know. I just don't think she's dead.
Okay, listen. Here's the thing. Moving forward, the show doesn't come back till April 27th, so it's like we have to wait a couple of
weeks. She'll be dead for at least a month.
Yep. Regarding some casting, they promoted Echo Cullum, the guy who plays Curtis, to series regular for next season. Here's the deal. We have not seen the last of Laurel Lance. She will be in the penultimate episode of The Flash as Earth 2's Black Siren.
Geek Mooner.
Whoa.
And apparently she's going to be in Vixen. Her voice, she's going to be in like a new season of Vixen episodes on the CW Seed cartoon. So I'm confused. I don't know.
And Legends of Tomorrow, I read that there's a lot of possibilities where she could show up in the past or the future or different timelines.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking Arrow. You know we haven't seen the last of Laurel Dinah Lance. But they did a good job with it, man. It was always still great to go through the emotions and
it was good.
To actually have
liked it.
Closure of like someone's dying. So
I approve. After these messages, we'll be right back. Hey, listen, isn't this fucking shit awesome? Wouldn't it be great if someone actually like liked it enough to actually maybe support us? How about that, Imran? Did you ever think about that for 1 second?
Well, look, listener, if you like what you're hearing so far, we do have a way for you to support us.
And how the fuck do they do that?
Go on to jockandnerd.com/Patreon, or you can go on to patreon.com/jockandnerd, which is our virtual tip jar.
It works both ways. Listener, support us for any amount. You're going to get access to awesome bonus content. Rugs has got mini episodes, instant reactions to movies, more geeky audio than you can shake a geek stick at.
Or a geek stick at.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit.
So go on to patreon.com/jockandnerd and donate today.
Hi, this is Mark. Congratulations, you have found this amazingly awesome show. Chances are you're listening to it right now on whether it's iTunes or Stitcher Radio or some other mobile app that allows you to stream this amazingly awesome show to your ear holes. And I can't stress how awesomely amazing this show really is. But did you know that you can also catch the latest episode of this show on the Tangible Network? That's right. Go check out tangiboundnetwork.com. You can look them up, and you can listen to it right there. It's even mobile-friendly. What more could you ask for? Which means you can pull it up on your iPhone or your Android, even your Windows phone. Yeah, who has one of those? But still, point remains, you can do it. You can do it. Check it out, tangiboundnetwork.com. Listen to this show, the latest episode, every time. Check it out.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
I don't know if I need a...
Strap yourselves in, you fucks. Spoiler time.
We had a little programming difficulty with this next show, which being Legends, this week's new Legends of Tomorrow, Season 1, Episode 10, titled Progeny. Now, it just aired across the country, except for the Chicago market.
Oh, shit.
Why? Because the Jocks won this battle. It was it was preempted for a goddamn basketball game. They're airing it on Sunday, but we can watch it on demand tomorrow. Whatever. We didn't get to see it, so Rugs, be a good Rug boy. Fill us in a little bit. You saw it. Give us a little spoilery free review, and we'll watch it when we can. Fuck.
Go play with some basketballs.
Yeah, well, let me...
really? Go play with some basketballs.
And literally, that's what happened.
Hit Brody played, even podcast. Bro, do you even podcast?
Really? Go play with some basketballs.
That's what happened tonight with Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah, you got screwed by the jock and basketballs.
Well, luckily on the East Coast, we don't have a good basketball team, so we don't have to worry about this
That's good.
okay, so Legends of Tomorrow. Without giving away a lot, basically, they go into the future, the deep, deep future, like 100 years in the future.
Oh, yeah, they were going to go to 2047 or something. 2147, yeah.
And then Progeny is basically about this kid that Vandal Savage is grooming to be like a evil, like Hitler-type figure in the future that like fucks with a lot of people and kills a lot of people.
Cool.
And they have to figure out how they're going to stop it and how to deal with this kid. And then there's a little bit of stuff with, like, Hawk Girl. And there's a little bit of stuff with Rory and whatever his name is, Mr. Freeze, Captain Cold. What's
Snart.
His name? Snart?
Snart.
I always forget his name.
Well, Mick.
Yeah, Mick and Snart. They have a little, like, resolution.
Because he's still in – they still have him, right? He's captured?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So basically – that's what the episode's about. Now, was it a good episode? I have a few nitpicks, but I'm going to tell you to look out for this. When you watch this,
yeah,
just look at the wardrobe choices. They're scraping the bottom of the barrel with their wardrobe budget, because there's some shit that they're wearing in the future.
Yeah,
just they went to the store and took out a jacket, like a suit jacket, and they turned it inside out. It's like, wear this. That's the future.
So weak future gear is what you're saying. Not the best designed future stuff.
Yeah.
I will definitely look out for that.
Oh, you will be like laughing the whole time. Every guy that walks in the room, you're like, oh my God. Like, they really didn't try to do shit.
Are they going to the past next? I want to see Jonah Hex is supposed to be on soon, or I don't know if it's the season. I kind of want to see
that. Yeah, I think the next episode is going to have him.
That's the Jonah Hex one. Cool.
Yeah. Another thing I want to point out is that in every show, Vancouver is the future. Just so you know.
All these fucking shows are shot
All the
there.
Shows are, yeah, a lot of them are shot in Vancouver.
They just do an exterior shot of Vancouver, and that's the future. So I should just go to the future.
I want to go to the future, Vancouver.
Well, Vancouver's not only the future, it's like an island off of the southeast, in the southeast China Sea, too.
It's Lian Yu, it's everything.
It's everything.
I mean, amazing. Detroit was Mexico for Batman versus Superman. What are you going to do?
Well, according to John Belotti, they can make anything look like anything.
Yeah, you just,
Atlanta is going to be Africa in Civil War, somewhere in Africa.
You just like paint a wall and put it up. Belotti will hook everybody up.
Yeah. I should get Belotti in the basement. I like it to look like a tropical island with some girls.
Oh, yeah, you should get Belotti. Look, we know a guy who's a scenic painter on sets. You should get Belotti to hook you up and give you like a nice set.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Maybe it could make it look like the Batcave.
That would be fucking sweet. All right,
yeah,
well, thanks.
I'll have like the dinosaur and the big penny over there.
Yeah.
Robin's costume over there.
Old school Batcave. I love the giant penny. You got to have the giant penny. Well, Ruggs, thanks for giving us a little review. We'll catch up next week on two episodes, taste. Of course. Yeah. We'll catch up and give you our thoughts then. Let's get to the biggie, folks.
Let's spoil some shit, Batman.
The big episode of the week being season 6 finale of The Walking Dead, episode 16, titled Last Day on Earth. Boy, this episode had about the same effect Batman vs. Superman had on a lot of people. I tell you what, it left people angry at the end. 90 minutes. First of all, did they need it to be 90 minutes?
It's like getting blue balls by the same girl. Like, you think you'd learn your lesson.
Oh,
you're like,
shit.
I'm never dating her again. Fuck that. I spent all this money, and she didn't do anything at the end of the night.
Okay,
but
look,
then
yeah.
You get tricked, and you do it again. And then you're standing there with your dick in your hand at the end of the date.
And you're like, that was it. Look, let's structure this a little bit. Where there was pretty much just two things going on in this episode.
There's not much to structure.
No, man. Well, look.
There wasn't much that happened.
There, like I said, two things. Let's talk about Carol and Morgan. That was the one thing that was taking a long time. It was happening on the side. Morgan finds the dude's horse, and he finds Carol. And she's just like, go away, let me die. I don't want to live. Blah, blah, blah.
They should just both been eaten by zombies.
What the fuck?
I don't care if either of them die.
What happened to Carol? And she does not want to come back. She pulls a gun on him. And then she ditches him. What the fuck, Carol? What's going on?
She just doesn't want to deal anymore, that's all.
She's like,
she just doesn't want to deal.
Used to be.
I understand that motivation. I just don't get how quickly she's come to that conclusion.
Yeah, she used to be badass. What happened to the badass Carol? She, you know what, though? I do remember in the comic book, she does go a little wacko in the comic book. This may be her getting a little crazy. Like, the world, if it goes to where she just breaks mentally, I could be down with that. Because that would happen. I'll buy
that.
Well,
it's going there.
Yeah, it's going there.
I mean, she's in the fetal position every day.
Oh,
now.
My God. She's on her own. But the other huge
geek boner.
I think we got confirmation of the kingdom people.
I think we got to before back up.
Yeah.
Before that, Morgan breaks his no-kill rule.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that. Carol being dumb takes off. She's on her own. She gets jumped. And then, of course, the guy that everyone forgot about that was following them. They're following her. He's following them. Finally catches up. At the convenient moment when she's alone and she wants him to finish the job, like she's taunting him. He keeps shooting her in the arm. I don't know why he just didn't kill her.
Well, he wanted to torture her.
Yeah, that's right.
It was so set up that you knew Morgan was coming because he shot in the arm and the leg. Like, if you really want to torture someone, shoot him in the stomach.
Or the vagina.
They're going to die.
Oh, shit.
Or the vagina.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I did love her, like, just being like, look, that's it. You're walking away. Finish the job. And then fucking Morgan.
Oh, shit.
Just unloads. 7 bullets. Unloads the whole clip in this dude. Mr. No-Kill Morgan. Mr. Life is everywhere. Everybody deserves a chance.
He's been waiting to peel a cap for a really long time.
Holy shit.
Prior to that, you'd heard Carol's speech about, like, why she escaped, why she left is because at some point you're going to have to cross the line if you love these people. And Morgan's realizing he loves Carol.
So and he
broke his no-kill rule, which is good because Morgan's character was really fucking annoying for a long time.
I'm glad that he killed somebody. I wish he killed himself.
Well, maybe now he can take over for badass Carol, who's going to be wacko Carol. And now we got badass Morgan. Also, I love...
Now you can get to your point, Ron, about the whatever you talked about.
I don't remember. I love Gabriel.
The kingdom.
I love warrior priest also, Gabriel, just standing at the top.
I like that a lot.
Holy shit, I love it. He looks awesome. Like, I can't believe how I turned around on fucking Gabriel. He's like, I got this. You trust me? And Rick's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but how is he all of a sudden brave? I don't understand this.
How is all of a sudden Carol fucking a whack job? The same fucking thing. I don't know. Anyways, the kingdom. I remember last week I was like, I think those guys are the kingdom. They're good guys. And clearly we see the guy's extending a hand. He wants to help. It looks like they look a little cosplay-ish. They may have raided a fucking umpire's uniform or SWAT team. They got padding on and they got horses.
More of an umpire, old school, like hockey player.
Right. He's got like elbow guards, shin guards. Very smart. Makes a lot of sense. Reminds me of the SWAT outfits they had early in like the first season of the show. It's a smart idea. But this is the kingdom with Ezekiel and the pet tiger. I don't know if they're going to do that. But very exciting that they find more good people. It's
a nice change up to get some decent people because of this whole show. This whole season, we haven't met any real decent people.
No, just fucking other evil than Jesus. Bastards. Other than Jesus. Okay, now we got all that out of the way, fellas. Let's talk about the other thing.
Okay, let's go.
Rugs, what you want to start?
Yes, I do.
They're all in the van. 11 motherfuckers. 11
all right,
of them.
So conveniently, everybody who's important in the show gets in the fucking Winnebago because they got to, because, you know, that's why they wrote it. Everybody goes in the Winnebago. Nobody stays behind to leave the priest behind, who never fucking killed anybody but one guy that was already on the ground.
Right. But look, Maggie's hurt. She's in pain. They need to get to the hilltop. They got to get her to the doctor.
Yeah.
Right.
So everybody got to go because we got to save Maggie. And then what happens is,
the Savior's got that shit locked down. Every fucking road.
That's my first problem with this episode already.
I thought that was kind of impressive.
Yes, because, really? How the fuck are the Saviors supposed to know that they were going to leave on that day? Were they going to wait on every fucking road for a week? How did they know they were leaving? How do they know?
Okay, you got me there. That's kind of like that thing in soap operas where they go to the door and the person is like just standing there. And instead of asking, how long have you been fucking standing here? They just start with their dialogue. Like it was
not only
that,
but it's like it's unrealistically smart on their part. Like, no way are they going to have this elaborate a plan where they're going to know on this exact day that Rick and the Winnebago are going to fucking
leave. That's a good point because it was all triggered by Maggie.
Yeah. I have another point.
Yeah.
When they first get the first blockade,
yeah,
that's something that Rick would go through on any given day.
Yeah.
He'd be like, let's fuck these guys up. Let's go.
Looking back, they should have just ran through that first blockade.
Yeah.
However, the second blockade was dope, though. I love the art direction on the zombie walker blockade. The makeup, the effects were really cool. You saw the chains were going through the bodies. Like, it was going under the skin. It was really well done. But then the second one was kind of used to lure them in a certain direction, which, of course, they went.
They would come up with that plan that they thought of at the end very sooner than they did.
Let's talk about that. So then they run into yet another roadblock with, like, at least 30 dudes. Like, each roadblock, there's more dudes. The first one had, like, 10 dudes. The second one had, like, 20 to 30 dudes. And they're like, so Eugene has this, I don't know what the plan was. What was the plan?
His plan was he was going to be the guy that he was going to be
decoy.
The decoy, yeah.
Well, as they carry Maggie through the woods at night, which like, this is not a good plan, you guys. I don't know. Turns out,
I have a problem with that.
Turns out this is what the Saviors wanted them to do the whole time, and they run into a fucking group of 50 plus, like all of them.
Yeah.
Well, they were basically cat and mouse, like they were lured into a trap.
Yeah. Yeah.
A very, very unrealistically elaborate trap, but a trap nonetheless.
It was very video game, like Beaver-esque says in the comments. The difficulty ramps up as you progress to the next level. It's like playing a Walking Dead game, and it was getting harder and harder. And then they finally they get there. They get them all on their knees. The dude from Grand Theft Auto is there. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, I saw him. The Nico Bellic.
From Grand Theft Auto 5, I think. So they get there, and then they're joined by the other groups that were caught by the Savior. So in a row, we have Glenn, Michonne, Daryl, Rosita, Abraham, Maggie, Rick, Sasha, Aaron, Carl, and Eugene.
Everybody's there.
Everybody's there waiting for the man. And
let me just point out before I know what we're getting at.
Yeah.
I just want to point out one good thing is at this point, Rick's evolution in this episode from being cocky as fuck and being like, I'll take half of you what you got. To the Saviors to like basically on the verge of a nervous breakdown at this point. So I'll give Rick some credit in the acting.
That was great. Every meeting, the first one, you know, they have this conversation about last day on Earth. They each kind of threaten each other. Is this your last day on Earth? I don't know. Maybe it's your last day on Earth. Be kind to everybody. And Rick is cocky as fuck. And even Carl is like, let's end it now. And Rick's like, no, no, hold on. Let's wait. We're just gonna Carl wanted to just fucking do it. I'm like, just take
I'm on Carl's team.
Yeah, just take Carl's advice. Carl. Just fucking end it. And he's being tentative and it kind of bites him in the ass. So they're all there, and yeah, finally you see Rick just shaken, just vulnerable, helpless for the first time in a long time. Like, you haven't seen Rick just shaken.
He didn't know about this world.
He did not, has no idea. And so remember last week we're like, what minute do you think we'll see Negan? Well, the winner, you're right. Winning answer was minute 81 of 90.
Oh, shit.
About 9-10 minutes episode left. Negan walks out. And man, I love this whole, I watched this end scene twice just for his interaction and his line delivery and his charisma as Negan. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I thought he killed it in this, what little we got. What'd you guys think of his performance just before we get to the end?
I think he looked really skinny.
I wish he was a little bit broader in the shoulders. I thought he was.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He looks like he lost a lot of weight. Yeah. That's all.
But they,
I don't know if
they,
that's good or bad.
They recreated the jacket.
I thought he was good. I thought he was equally menacing and charismatic, and you could feel like, I mean, to be honest, he kind of felt like the only, like, you could tell he's a real actor. Like,
yeah.
He's been in awesome things before, and he has a screen presence. The camera loves him.
The guy's he's living this role already, and the costume designers recreated the costume from the comic book perfectly. Like, it looks like the jacket and the scarf, and even the scarf being red. The comic book is black and white, but I always envisioned him with like a red scarf and a black jacket for some reason. I don't know. Maybe they mentioned that it's red, but man, they nailed it. And just great lines. His little thing with Carl is kind of setting up. He has a great relationship with Carl in the comic books. He kind of respects his fucking killer attitude. He's like, shit, kid, lighten up. Maybe cry a little. I love that. I was like, that's fucking Negan.
Yeah. Well, he was great. That wasn't the problem. The problem is what happens at the very end of the show.
Yes.
Where he, well, Negan wants to kill one of them because he's got to kill one to make an example. He's going to make the rest of them work with him.
I love
and
that.
They're going to be his bitches.
Well, you learn what the deal is. You're like, here's the new world order, folks. I get half your shit, and I don't kill you. And I don't want to kill you because I need you to work with me. But then he's like, oh, you didn't think I was going to let you get away without getting punished. I love how he's like, you killed my people. And then when I sent people to kill you, you killed more of my people. It's like, not cool. I was like, fuck, dude, he's pissed. So he's got to pick someone. And how does he pick someone? Probably the scariest fucking most tense game of eeny, meeny, miny, mo I've ever seen.
Oh, shit.
I'd be shitting.
Yeah, it's all being built up really well at this point.
I'd be pissing in my pants. They're cutting to people. He's walking down the line, but then they cut to a montage of everybody. And he picks a dude, beats the dude's brains in, and it's the viewer. He kills the viewer. It's a point of view shot. You guys saw it. Blood down the camera. We don't know who he killed. What were your first emotions after White when this happened?
I was like, Glenn again? I was like, they're doing the same thing they did with Glenn.
Why are you putting people through this?
What's with me?
That's what I thought. I was like, look, the last episode ended with on-screen blood also and a fake-out kill. I wouldn't have minded this had they not fucked with Glenn earlier, had they not ended the last episode almost the same fucking way. I would have been okay. I would have swallowed this. I'd have been okay. I'll wait. But you're fucking around too much now, Walking Dead.
Yeah. They're becoming a soap opera.
Would seeing the kill on screen?
Like a telenovela.
I got some things to say.
Sorry, Anthony, let it go. Let it rip, Anthony.
It's unnecessary cliffhanger. First off, if you kill someone on screen at that moment, you'd built it up so much. The whole episode built up to that point.
Yeah.
You kill someone on screen, that is enough of a cliffhanger for me to be like, fuck, I got to watch next season.
Yeah, what's going to happen now?
I agree.
Right.
I agree.
But to drag it out is so cheap.
Why have they been starting trolling the show in these last few seasons? It wasn't always like this. I agree. Watching the death would have been devastating. Right. Would have been great closure, and it would have been so emotionally devastating for the viewer that you couldn't help but not come back. Now Beaver S says, "What the fuck? Come on!" And now we're gonna have to wait months and months to lose interest and possibly get it spoiled by production shots. Absolutely. They got people talking about it. I get it. But you got people talking about it for the wrong reason, Walking Dead.
And I've seen a lot of people, and I'm not one of those people because I didn't read the comics, but a lot of people that read the comics were like, you ruined the most an iconic moment in the comics. I'm not going to make that argument, but you are diffusing tension by making us wait 6 months to figure out who died. It was so unnecessary. The moment would have had so much more impact if you kill a motherfucker on screen to end the last season, this season.
Did you hear what Robert Kirkman said on The Talking Dead afterwards?
Yes.
That's the point of the story, is for you to find out what happened. I'm like, no, it's not.
Even Scott
Gimple. You have a beginning and an ending to every season. You have to wrap shit up. What did you wrap up? That they got found? Big deal.
Yeah, it's unnecessary cliffhanger. Papa X-Cast also says, at least Arrow had the balls to kill off Canary without a cliffhanger. This was like watching midget porn with Geico ads. Such a letdown.
Oh, yeah. I like Beaver well Rest put. Again, too. Insert deflating balloon sound here. It's exactly what it is. The deflating tension. I was honestly very, very... I tweeted out on our account, the jock is disappointed like that. I was very, very frustrated with that. Because the thing is, like you mentioned, Imran, they did this fake tease twice now throughout this season.
Yeah.
And literally they spent not an hour, 90 minutes, granted with commercials, but 90 minutes of extra time building up to this moment only for them to be like, wait 6 months.
We're not gonna show.
Like, fuck off.
Aside from the first episode, I don't like the way they've used this extra time in the two episodes. Well, maybe the Morgan one. This one just, it wasn't, the 90 minutes didn't add, they didn't add any more story. They just fucking slowed everything down. The tension was delicious, but God, I don't know. That was, now everyone, they're trying, I don't think there's any way you could figure this out. With clues, with the audio, you know, the producers have said we thought about this, we were very smart. Anything you even, if you try to parse the audio, that may be cut on purpose to misdirect. I don't think you could figure this out. Having said that, who do you think it is?
Does it matter at this point?
No.
The tension is
so ruined it.
It's literally like in a horror movie when they have these like beats where they're building up tension and then a cat jumps out.
Yeah.
And they do that beat one too many times. And that's literally what The Walking Dead just did.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, I hope it's Maggie.
I don't think it's Maggie. I don't think it's Rick, Carl, or Maggie because I've heard that next season they're stuff dealing with Maggie's pregnancy. And Negan refers to Rick and Carl in his last little speech. Pop X-Cast says some tech nerds slowed down the audio from the ending and they revealed the screams. However, who's to say they didn't cut that shit there on purpose to misdirect people? Because knowing they would know that somebody's going to fucking
It's slow one down of the two audio. People, right? They said it's someone major, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be either Glenn or fucking, what's his name?
Daryl.
Norman Reedus. Daryl. Yeah, it's got to be one of those two guys.
I think it's Glenn still. I think they're going to do the same thing from the comic book, and it's going to be Glenn.
But I think they're going to go a different direction and go Daryl.
They had good ratings for that show, obviously, because it was a season finale. But
can I bring up real quick again that elaborate plan?
Yeah,
where they like blocked off all the roads. Like I would have been willing to forgive that, although it is incredibly unbelievable that they would know the day that they're going to leave and block off every goddamn road.
Yeah,
but. I would have been able to forgive that if they would have given us the payoff at this, but they didn't, so I'm not going to forgive that either. Like, seriously, what were they going to stay on those roads for days waiting for them?
How did they know? You know, that I didn't even think about that. And the only reason
I don't know, you don't arm everybody to the teeth in the Winnebago and then just walk away from like the best advantage that you have.
Right.
What did Rick think? That it was going to be less guys, like somewhere else, or no guys?
It's just more and more people. Rancom says Norman Reedus has his own show. He's got the show where he's like riding his bike around. It's like a travel.
It's a weird show.
Yeah, it's like a travel documentary concept. Hanging out with Reedus. It's like Ride with Norman or some shit. But I think he could shoot that show and The Walking Dead at the same time because it looks like it also takes place, whatever, unless he's traveling.
Yeah, like. It's not even on half the year.
Riding America with Norman Reedus. You could shoot all those episodes in like a fucking week and then just be done with it. So I don't know. It could be. I don't know. But it's – you're right. It's unnecessary. They didn't need to cliffhanger this. There was no need to do that.
The cliffhanger should have been the death.
Yes.
And everyone's like, what the fuck just happened? Like that would have been a cliffhanger in and of itself.
I mean, people argued that if it was a series finale, you do that, but not in a season finale. If this was a mid-season finale, I don't know. It bothered me. You're right.
It bothered a lot of people.
Made a lot of people angry.
Rug Boy, are you done with the show, or are you going to watch next season?
No, I'm going to watch it, but I mean, like, it's
yeah. Did it?
It's clear to me that they're doing shit now just to do shit like that's formulaic. That's every soap opera does, you know. It's clear to me they're going that route. They're going in the series. They're no longer worried about making like a Breaking Bad where it's all about the art form. They're like doing cheap stuff now.
I don't like this direction. Has this show jumped the shark, you guys? That's the big question.
Yeah.
Do you think so? Oh boy.
Oh, shit.
It's been jumping the shark. But it jumped the shark every time that they do shoot stupid shit to move the plot along, and you know that it's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, no show is immune to that.
No.
Everybody does it. It's part of writing a show. But when they do it and you know they're doing it on purpose because they want to, just to be dicks, then like the whole Glenn thing.
Yeah.
That was to be a dick.
I think I'm with Pop Xcast. He says, I'm going to give it one more season. If they don't break out of the soap opera mold, I'm done with the Walkers. I feel like I need to give it the benefit of the doubt. Here's the thing. Despite that cliffhanger-y tease, I'm really excited for what Negan and these Saviors means moving forward. Now that we have been introduced to this other guy. And really, I heard they're going to tell stories from Negan's point of view. If you think about Negan is a star of his own show. If you think about him from the beginning, that he's got this whole thing set up. He thinks he's doing the right thing. And all of a sudden, there's this asshole Rick who's just killing his fucking people. You know, which side is actually right? Like, I would love to see it from his point of view.
I'm interested in the Negan stuff for sure. I'm not willing to be like, I'm done with this show because I enjoy it. But it left a very sour taste in my mouth. I'm excited for Negan. It left such a sour taste in my mouth that I already didn't like Fear the Walking Dead. I'm not at all excited for Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, no.
Not at all.
Beaver S says, I don't know about jumping the
show. It's making me carry over my anger to that show.
You want to know what's fueling a lot of this is that we have so much content to watch now, so much comic book related content that we're now like, okay, we can like do without some now. We can now start filtering stuff out.
That's got to be good.
It's like if you have a lot of bitches, all right? Like if you can never get laid, any girl will do. But if you start getting lots of bitches, like you're going to be like, I don't like the short ones.
Yeah, who do you cut first? You cut the low-class bitches out of that first.
Rug Boy's analogy game is on fleek.
Oh, shit.
It all comes back to bitches, folks.
It always all comes back to bitches.
I'm kidding. I don't know.
Look, Negan is still alive in the comic books. Maybe they didn't jump the shark. We did say before, like, if there's like a celebrity walker, then it's jump the fucking shark. Like
they're not ever going to do that.
No. But they really
fucked with people on this one.
Yeah, it's too much.
If you look at
it's
like hashtag much. TWD finale, like right after that show ended, I did not see one positive tweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like people yes, I'm so happy to go home unfulfilled.
Right.
And the irony being, because this show airs earlier before Arrow, the irony being when I saw the Arrow, I was like, wow, thank you. You kind of made up for the Walking Dead finale a little bit. At least I got a death and I knew who the fuck it was.
I wasn't expecting it either.
Yeah. So for Arrow to show up with Walking Dead on the same week with deaths of huge characters, like one thing I'm most upset about is we said the week before that he's going to swing the bat. It's going to cut to black. Anthony, you thought we were going to see it. And I was like, they ain't showing it to us. And I'm really disappointed that I was right.
You know why I didn't think they were going to do that? Because it's bad. It's just bad. It's bad television. It's bad to string along your audience. Like
or
that.
Is it brilliant writing because everybody's talking about it now?
Yeah, but everybody's talking about how this is bullshit.
It is. I love Beaver S. Great comment. The entertainment media version of Blue Balls. Absolutely. I will favorite that. All right, well, now, next week, we got Fear the Walking Dead. Oh, I wanted to mention, did you see the Philadelphia Flyers kind of trolling Stephen Yeun on Twitter? Stephen Yeun tweeted, no. Let's go at Detroit Red Wings, he tweeted. The Philly Flyers, here, it's in this article here. The Philly Flyers responded, let's go Lucille at Stephen Yeun. Because I guess are they going to be in the playoffs? Philly and
Flyers?
Detroit, yeah. Or they're like fighting for a playoff spot. It's good for Philly Flyers.
All right, let's go to Rip Food TV. He says, people are angry because they didn't get what they want, and what they want is boring, as they wouldn't talk about it like you guys are talking about it right now.
Okay.
So that's divisive. It's not an example of good writing. That's a trick.
It's a gimmick. Is that not a gimmick?
So if I can trick you, does that make me freaking better at something than you? If I could trick you at something?
We should be talking about it because the story and the character and the plot was so surprising and it went a different way and it was something we didn't see was going to happen is why we should be talking about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't need to be – the audience doesn't need to be faked out. Sometimes you just got to give the audience what they want. And at that moment, the writers – They built up to it so much that for it to be a third fake out this season is kind of bullshit.
That's what happened to Lost.
Yeah,
they fell into a trap where they were using gimmick stuff every episode. And at a certain point, when they didn't resolve it properly and they just kept on painting themselves into corners, people got very, very exhausted with it.
Yeah, because it went nowhere. Every time.
Yeah, it wasn't that. People were outraged.
It was all dead ends. God, if we had a show then, forget about it. Actually, it caused a lot of podcasts to start. This
Lost?
Kind of show, yeah.
How long ago was that?
Was it 2005?
10 years ago?
Yeah. You were still a fetus.
He was he was 8 years old. I was a fully grown man. That's how old I am now. But, yeah, it's very, very interesting how people are taking this both ways.
Very interesting how much reaction this caused, similar to CVS.
I feel like, though, if you're writing this show, you should be confident enough to kill a dude on screen and know that, look, our viewers are going to come back to want to see what happens. We don't have to fucking jerk them around. We can kill someone on screen. We can show it.
They haven't killed a major character since, like, midway through season 4.
Yeah, we need one.
Which was Beth.
Yeah.
Like they haven't killed anybody, really. Like, what's her face? Les. Well, Denise doesn't really count. No one gives a shit about Denise.
That was a shocking one, though.
It was shocking, but it wasn't a major character.
No. So, I mean, and then, you know, of course, like, Scott Gimple is like, oh, we're gonna deal with this next season. Well, no shit, dude. Of course you are. Also, I read Greg Nicotero directed it. I read that his parents are so upset at him that they're not talking to him, and he won't even tell them who it is. Apparently, the cast doesn't even know. They haven't filmed the scene. The cast doesn't even know who it is. I think.
Do you think they know who it is? Do you think they're maybe reading reaction and trying to be a little reactionary?
The other thing I'm worried about is that given this time, they're going to give him time to fuck around with this. I don't know if they even have settled on who they want it to be.
Who do you think has a career beyond Walking Dead?
I mean, they all kind of do.
No, I mean, like, leading person in a movie.
Oh, you mean getting a big
something?
Movie role, huh?
Is there anyone?
Well, what's her name? Maggie and actually, what's his face? Negan were Bruce and
Thomas and Martha
Bruce
Wayne.
Wayne's parents. Yeah. But Maggie's in that next horror movie. Whatever that actress's name is.
Lauren Cohen has possibility to blow up in movies.
She's blowing up a little bit.
Huh.
I would say, I mean, Norman Reedus has a decent shot. I mean, Steven Yeun. I think they all, both of those guys could make it.
Now, Rip Foo TV, he makes another good point. People make the mistake of thinking the narrative of the episode is purely to lead to a death, but the episode is about them finding out they don't know shit and that there's this other group of saviors. Is that what the episode is about or not? I don't know.
I think it just could have been an exclamation point to this episode. They don't know shit. Negan destroys someone on screen.
Why is this guy defending it?
I don't know.
He liked it.
He liked it.
That's why.
So I guess he likes to go to a restaurant, and when they're about to bring his dinner out, they just send him home.
Oh, shit.
Is that how you go to the restaurants, dude?
They put the plate down, and then they just take it away away.
No, because it's about the journey to the restaurant, right?
It's about going, ordering
food.
It's not about the food.
Wondering what you want, but you don't get what you want.
It's about how the food was made and not brought to me.
Maybe they let you smell it, and then they send you home.
They definitely let us smell it.
There were 7 roadblocks to the kitchen. I couldn't even get there, and then they didn't even give me the fucking food. Wow. Yeah. Well, you know. Be that what it is, they got people talking about it, and we will be talking about it for months. I'm going to be so sick of the speculation, though. This is what is really going to annoy me, is now, till October, we're going to have to fucking hear this shit, and just, I don't care. Just show me who it is now. Like, I don't even care.
Did Lost do a cliffhanger like this, where you had to speculate for a season? For an off-season?
I don't remember. Probably. They fucking, every show was like that. They didn't know what they were doing. Yeah. You're just making shit
up.
The
smoke monster. Is there a smoke monster? No, there's no smoke monster.
Wait, there is a smoke monster.
It's a dude. It's a dude.
What happened to that polar bear? I don't know.
I don't know.
No, he gives a shit. You get hungry enough and you go snack on something else and lose your appetite, beaver-esque.
Dude, the first episode, they were talking about that smoke monster, that monster. And then they made it into a – first it was a monster. Then they made it into a smoke monster.
They had no idea. And then it was a dude. Then it was a dude.
Then it was a dude. And then – I don't even know what the fuck. There's some kind of a chamber with stuff.
You gotta type some numbers. Fuck that show. You can't watch it again. All right, gang.
Let's Fibonacci. Pavarotti.
1, 1, 2, 3, 5. Eureka. Let's wrap this up.
Doc and Nerd.
Hey, guess what's exactly 1 month from today? A Nerd's Christmas. Not really, but it's called Free Comic Book Day. May 7th, go to freecomicbookday.com, listener, and you will find a local participating store where you can go hang out. You can expose yourself to some books. Don't expose yourself to the children, but expose yourself to books. You'll be able to pick up free books. It's lots of fun. And if you are in the Chicagoland area, you'll be able to hang out and meet the Jock and Nerd. We are going to be doing a live recording at Pastimes in Niles. Links will be in the show notes for this episode, jockandnerd.com/92. Come down and see us, but not only us. Mark Allen Fishman from Unshaven Comics, he's been on the show. He's been there. This dude called Mr. Antihero, he's a stencil artist. Check out his Instagram. I'll put it right in here. I'll have it in the show notes. He makes, like, stencil art. He'll be there. We'll talk to him. And this journalist from Chicago, known as Chicago's King of Geeks, Mr. Elliot Serrano. He's written this book called Grumpy Cat. He's written a book called Evil Dead. He's written an Evil Dead book. Very intellectual geek will be there, and hopefully we'll get some audio with him.
Well, we'll be there hanging out.
We'll be there hanging out all day. If you're a listener and you're in the Chicagoland area, you could come be on the show. We can hang out. We'll talk. Get some free comic books. May 7th. Link in the show notes. I'm very excited. Just a month away.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
Gotta get some free comics.
Get some free comics. We got a couple of fun things you could do if you enjoy the show and want to help out. You want a Jock and Nerd t-shirt? We got merch, everybody.
Geek Mooner.
Just go to jockandnerd.com/shop. And
I need to order one.
There you go. Jordan and the Blabs just threw up a little image. We got the water bottles, a little doggy bandana. You could get cool t-shirts, ringer tees, sweatshirts, hoodies. They even come in rug boy size.
Geek-erific. I gotta get a shirt at least, right? God damn it.
Yeah, Beaver S, you like that? That guy's a cool stencil. We'll hear from Mr. Antihero on our Free Comic Book Day show. And also, if you want some bonus audio, here's the best thing. Who doesn't want a little bonus rug boy, a little bonus Jock and Nerd audio? You just support the show on Patreon. Visit jockandnerd.com/Patreon. It helps the show cover expenses of hosting and website design. The show is always free, but help us out a little bit, and you're going to get awesome bonus audio, post shows, instant reactions, rug tones. What?
Geek Mooner.
Rug tones.
Jocktastic.
You heard right, people. You can download an MP3 file and cut your own rug tones. They are hilarious. I want to thank our supporters on Patreon who are currently supporting us. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. Get your fucking rug tones, people. That's for sure.
David Malofsky and Jesse Looney.
Jesse Looney, David Malofsky, Place Your Hand Cape. Thank you, guys, as always, for supporting us.
And they're getting awesome content that no one else is getting. So
that's right. Go check it out.
Check out our virtual tip jar.
That's right. Virtual tip jar. Rugs, where can the people find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at ReallyRugBoy. And that's where you can argue with me about our opinions. If you like Batman versus Superman and you're a douchebag and you want to hate on our show, come talk to me. I'll fucking straighten you out.
I hope we get more hate mail because
I'll give you a felty punch to the face.
You don't know how I love getting the hate mail. That's fantastic. I'm so proud of us, gang. We got our first piece of hate mail.
Jockin' Nerd.
Woohoo! Guys, if you want to contact us, just visit jockinnerd.com/contact. Subscribe to the show if you're listening here. We are an audio podcast on Blab. Of course, if you're a listener, you know that. Just visit jockandnerd.com/review. It takes you to our iTunes page. Maybe you want to leave us a little 5-star rating and reviewing. We'd love it. We'll read it on the show. And finally, guys, what do we tell everyone?
You should probably go and tell a friend, I would think.
If you like what you hear, go tell somebody. Turn somebody on.
Terrific.
to this.
Yeah, why are you keeping it a
fucking
secret?
Fucking wackiness. Yeah, don't.
We need to do this on the air. Jordan Radford of Jordan the Pies, who's our BA.
Our blab right? assistant, yeah.
Blab assistant is wishing Imran a happy 40th birthday.
Oh,
which
boy.
Was recently his birthday.
Yeah. When was your birthday, Imran?
The nerd had Tuesday, April 5th. The nerd.
May the
40th
be with you.
40 years
so you're
old.
You're 40 years old, dude?
Okay, I did. I was trying to let this fly under the radar, but since you fuckers brought it up, that's fine. Look, let me do a quick segment here at the end of the show. It's a segment called Things That Turned 40 This Year. Also known as How to Depress the Nerd. Check this out. These are other things. This is how old I am. These are other things that turned 40. Apple Computers founded 40 years ago.
Jesus.
The band U2 formed 40 years ago.
Wow, they're old as fuck.
VHS tapes came out 40 years ago. The movie Rocky, 40 years ago. The Muppet Show, The Blues Brothers. I'm as old as Big Red Gum. Anthony, this one's for you. A little jock one. The Seattle Seahawks and Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
How does Jordan the Pies already have this?
Because I have it in the show notes. Added to the NFL lineup. The word meme. You guys know the word meme, right? Everyone's like, oh, this is a meme, it's a meme. The fucking word meme was actually coined 40 years ago in Richard Dawkins' book called The Selfish Gene. He coined the word meme, and now assholes have taken it over. Here's the best bit, dude. Here's celebrities I have as old as. Benedict Cumberbatch, Ryan Reynolds, Reese Witherspoon, Alicia Silverstone, and now this is my favorite. I'm as old as Steve Urkel, Punky Brewster, Kimmy Gibbler, Fred Savage, and the boy from Mr. Belvedere.
Oh, shit.
We are all the same.
Wesley.
Bryce Beckham. What the
Bryce
fuck is...
Bryce Beckham.
What is Bryce Beckham doing now? He may be
in jail. He has a podcast.
He might have a podcast. Happy birthday to all you fucking... Cumberbatch is turning 40.
Happy birthday to you, asshole.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I'm 40, but really, I'm fucking 15 still. Maturity level.
You're maturity-wise, you're like 15 now, and you look 78.
Yeah. Since you hit 40, are you now questioning your mortality now? Like, okay, all the best years of my life are behind me.
He's questioning
and now
his
it's
libido.
Nothing but down.
I don't know how to think. I feel like when I was a kid and I looked at people who were 40, I was like, whoa, that dude's old. But I don't feel like I'm that guy now. I feel like 40's the new 30 or some fucking bullshit cliche saying.
Look old when you pull your fucking waistband up to your nipples and you wear your dress pants. Jesus Christ.
I do that on purpose because it's funny. Look, I have a short torso, all right? It's genetics. It goes from nipple to waist. That's it. I got nothing. I got nothing. Anthony's right, though.
True. I saw him in a fucking suit. And I was like, oh, my God. Imran, put your suit coat on.
See, Beaver S.
Your belt line is at your nips.
Beaver S, he's hugging me up. You wouldn't be a proper nerd if you didn't wear your belt at your armpits. Yeah, I dress like fucking Steve Urkel on Family Matters all the way.
I remember when you would roll into work and you'd have like dress pants, dress shirt, and then you'd have gym shoes and white socks on. That was always awesome, too.
Well, that's because I would go on a walk for lunch and I didn't want to fucking bring two different pairs of shoes. Who gives a fuck? Who's looking at my socks?
I love hearing all this shit about Imran.
What the fuck?
This
yeah.
is the best thing ever.
Oh my lordy, the nerd is 40. Well, thanks, you guys. Here's to fucking 40 more. Well, I don't know.
Well, happy birthday, motherfucker.
Thanks, and thanks for listening, listener. If you guys are hanging out on the Blab, hang out for a sec. We're going to open it up. We can geek out with you. Thanks for hanging out. This has been the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is 40-year-old Imran.
And my name is 28-year-old Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
See you next time. Yeah, Anthony's
all right, guys.
28. Just
I gotta
a baby.
Run.
All right. See you later, enjoy. Jocko. El Jocko.
El Jocko.
It's going.
De Chapo.
El Chapo. It's going. Thanks. Yeah, we'll see you, Anthony. Have a good evening.
I'll see
Bye,
you.
Anthony.
Bye. Thanks,
Bye,
Jordan,
Anthony.
For doing all the graphics as per usual.
No problem.
Jordan killed it. Thanks for the 40th birthday. This is the Jocko Nerd Podcast post show, guys. Come on in. The water's fine. If you love.
I was just going to sneak that in a little bit?
No, I'm glad you did. Because I did want to – I just – the TV show people that I'm the same age as is hilarious. I mean, I used to have a huge crush on Punky Brewster.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Soleil Moon Fries?
Soleil Moon Fries. Oh, man. Krista Wolf has a crush on Kimmy Gibbler. Dude, she's on the Fuller House. And Stephanie
she
Tanner. That's Stephanie Tanner, though, let me tell you.
Yeah, she really got the fake boobs. She really, like, well, invested in
you don't think those are
like, the Mercedes
real?
Of boobs.
You don't think those are real?
No, they're not real.
Soleil Moon Fry. Soleil Moon Fry.
They defy all kinds of gravity.
Speaking of boobs, dude, Soleil Moon Fry at 15 had to have breast reduction surgery. Her boobs were so big that they were causing like back problems.
That's a real thing.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
I have that issue.
Yeah, I don't have that issue.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything. My brain is so overloaded from watching TV, I can't remember anything. I have not consumed this much shit in my life. In my entire life, there has not been this many genre shows that I would watch.
Ruggs, this is
like,
our
I
fault.
I remember back in like 10 years ago, it was a desert for nerds.
Yep.
It was like, there was Star Trek The Next Generation and Xena the Warrior Princess, and that was it.
Yep. It was,
there's so much to take in.
It is almost too much. I mean, I want to watch Preacher when it starts, and that's going to be like another thing to follow. And imagine if we're trying to actually keep up with all the shows, we'd have to review like Lucifer, Supergirl, fucking Gotham. Like,
not doing it.
It's too fucking much. Now, as a comic book superhero nerd, like I want to watch everything just because I want them to make more. But you, like you said, now we are at a point where we really need to pick and choose with our ratings and promote the good shit and not watch the bad shit because there's so much now.
Well. Mm-hmm. It's a tough thing because I want to watch them on my own time.
Yeah.
I got to watch them in real time.
It's our fault, Ruggs. We're making you shove all the shit in your little felty head. I'm really sorry. It's going to explode at some point.
I'm already dumb. This is making me dumber.